As the dust settles on last weekend's local and European elections, politicians and parties will be reflecting on what was won, what was lost and what might have been. But there was barely time for them to draw a breath before attention turned to the next general election, whenever that might be. To sift through the political ashes of the week that was and where to next are Gerard Howlan, public affairs consultant, former government advisor and columnist with the Irish Times, and Dr. Teresa Reedy, political scientist at University College Cork. Gerard, I might start with you first. Unpredictable and hard to read is how the electorate was being described going into these elections. Are we any the wiser now about where the Irish voter is at, and what it might tell us about the political system as a whole?
Well, you'd be very foolish to extrapolate the outcome of a general election based on this. There were just below 50% of people voted. Way over 60% will likely turn out in a general election. That's a game-changing change in terms of turnout, to say the very least. People were voting on different topics than they will in a general election. And people are far freer and easier, I think, with their choice of councillor or an MEP than they would possibly be in relation to the TDs. They will choose who will form a government. What we do know is that there's now, for the very first time, a far-right element who is elected with a mandate in Irish politics. Depending on how you measure who, you could say about 5% of voters did just that. There's another group of people of about 10% plus who are very distinct and different and should not be mixed up with the far right, but who are certainly migrant sceptic or are looking for significantly tougher rules. And that's another, I suppose, shade of politics we didn't have conspicuously before. And Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, of course, are claiming success. It's a question of how you use the word win and what you mean by it, because they were down on their last local and Europeans in 2019, though Fianna Fáil did gain more European seats. They were down marginally in terms of the result in the European election compared to the general election result. They were up slightly in terms of their local election result. And those general election results in 2020 were deemed to have been very poor day out for both. But I think what they have won is some momentum forward, I think, from momentum downward. And I think Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they did something they hadn't done for a long time. They run fairly decent campaigns.
Yeah, and on that point, Dr. Teresa Reedy, Gerard Howlan mentioned that, you know, these elections are being hailed as a success for both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, but both did return with fewer local authority seats. So are they sort of clutching at straws, or is there something here that they can build on going into the future?
Well, in politics, context and expectations are everything. And going into these elections, they're we call them midterm, but of course they're very close to the end of the term for this government. The strong expectation is that governing parties are going to perform poorly, that voters, perhaps dissatisfied at policies over the term of the government, will punish the governing parties. And so that expectation really is the backdrop against which the results are evaluated. And Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and to an extent as well, the Green Party actually outperformed the expectations. They came in, as Gerard outlined, broadly speaking, in the space they received at the last general election. The Green Party less so, definitely, but small parties and coalition governments often face almost annihilation as they come to the end of their term. And so even for the Green Party, the outcome was perhaps better than the expectation that had been set in advance. But I think the parties are not going to kind of overstate this themselves in their own internal evaluations. They still face a very difficult general election, most of all Fine Gael, which is going into it after a decade and a half in power. And it's a really exceptional position from which it's going to have to campaign. It has all this additional difficulty related to so many of its incumbents stepping back, because that's one of the advantages that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael had going into these elections, is that they had a lot of incumbents on the ground, and those certainly came into play. So it's very much about the context and the expectations. And just to finish up on Sinn Féin, of course, the expectation for Sinn Féin was set by the fact that they had performed so exceptionally well in the 2020 general election and had continued, it seemed, in the polls to actually build on that performance. And even though there had been some tightening in the week or 2 weeks before the election, and some greater tightening in the kind of 3 to 4 months before the local elections, the expectation was still that the party would do much, much better than it did. And so whilst it improved on its 2019 figure, not by the amount that clearly the party itself expected, but also what had been set by the polls.
And on Sinn Féin, there's been a lot of diagnosis in recent days as to where things went wrong for the party. Is there anything they can do now, though, to give them that sort of transformation that they had between the 2019 local elections and the general election the following year? Can they come back with any policies? Can they change their strategy? Can they do anything?
Well, they have to do something, and they have to do it reasonably quickly. I mean, I think one of the things that has afflicted Sinn Féin is its internal methodology of organisation, which is so tightly controlled as to be actually constrictive in terms of its capacity to move and weave with changing feeling on the ground. Their elected representatives are really second-class citizens within that organisation in terms of power and influence that ultimately is not serving them well. And whether they have to cop on or the capacity to realise that, apart from the question you've asked, Mary, what they should do, I think what afflicts Sinn Féin most deeply is how it does it. That tightness of control, that almost internal system of martial law in terms of people speaking out other than on the preconditioned party line every time. It is that method and way of doing politics that is unsuited to a multi-seat constituency, freewheeling, changing electorate, and are so tightly controlled. I think really they met themselves coming back on a whole range of issues, which now they have to address quickly. They have to bring certainty and not just aspiration. Aspiration alone will not qualify them as an alternative party government.
And the big question on everyone's mind is the timing of the general election. There's been a bit of a clamour, Teresa Reedy, from coalition backbenchers for an early poll. The Taoiseach and other senior people seem to be fairly firm in insisting that they're not in a hurry. But does the timing really, really matter, or what difference can it make to the overall result?
Well, I think Gerard and I were both writing about that this week in the newspapers. There are several reasons why you would want to kind of bring the election out of the real deep winter period. For practical reasons, it's a difficult time to be running campaigns. The voters generally are not all that perky in the deep winter months. So there's a kind of a solid practical reason to kind of take it out of that space. But there are lots of other strategic political reasons why it suits the government to bring it forward. And that includes the previous point that Sinn Féin are in disarray. So when your opponents are in disarray, why would you give them time to reorganise and re-emerge, as occurred in 2019? And the government has the potential to have a favourable budget, which it could use to set its stall out with the electorate. And so there are a lot of practical reasons. I think the abuse of politicians on the doorsteps, damaging to posters, a lot of that happened kind of in the kind of bright days of June. I think we'd expect it actually to be much, much worse if it was going to be when there are very few daylight hours at all. So there's actually a practical security reason as well for bringing it to the space before the clocks go back, either to have most of the campaign in October and maybe the election slightly into November, or maybe even earlier again. So there's the mood of the electorate, potentially not good in the late winter. But there's also practical reasons for bringing it out of that period.
OK, Gerard Helen, before or after the clocks change?
Oh, I think before, if they can, or as soon after as practical. I think waiting, as Teresa said, in the depth of winter for possibly an unknown event, but certainly the crankiness and the sense of being a bit broke in the new year isn't good politics.
OK, Dr. Teresa Reedy and Gerard Howland, thank you very much for joining us with your insights there.